a special bonus episode of the MUFG podcast. Today we have Stephen Jennings, Head of Energy and Natural Resources for EMEA, with us to talk about his outlook for the renewable sector in 2020. Hi Stephen, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Okay, so following the government's reaffirmation of its net zero carbon emissions target, what impact do you think this will have in 2020?
Firstly, I think we have to view the government's commitment as being a very positive one. I mean, in general, this target had cross-party support, but each political party had very different views on how to achieve it. The Conservatives made by far the clearest signals in terms of the role they see for the private sector, particularly in generation. And we should now hope to see in fairly short order some clear policy statements from government upon which the private sector can begin planning its investment strategies in 2020. Although, of course, in all likelihood, projects will take longer to come to fruition, as indeed will any meaningful progress on the broader energy transition, such as around heating and transportation.
And sticking with the UK, what other technologies can compete with offshore wind?
Offshore wind has been the dominant renewable technology in the UK and has continued its impressive journey from a very nascent technology to a mainstream one, whereas other forms of renewables requiring more political intervention have stagnated somewhat as Brexit has dominated the UK political agenda. Assuming more airtime is created for politicians to make policy decisions now following the recent election, and we have broader clarity on the roadmap for Brexit, I would hope that we can see some positive statements from government about how they see the role of competing technologies such as carbon capture and storage and nuclear and maybe new interconnectors in meeting the net zero target. That said, the greater visibility we have now is in the offshore wind sector. We know the projects that are going to be looking for financing in 2020, and we know there's going to be over 9 gigawatts of capacity likely competing in the next tender round in 2021.
And more broadly, what do you think are the key themes for the renewable sector in 2020?
Without doubt, wind and solar will continue to be the dominant technologies, and there will continue to be evolution in technology to make these more efficient, drive down costs further, and broaden their application. Hopefully, in the case of offshore wind, perhaps we can see the first large-scale project-financed floating offshore wind project. In jurisdictions with established auction processes, we can expect further success for projects with less reliance on subsidy support. This clearly has different impacts for both debt and equity, and whilst we won't transition to a purely merchant market overnight, it does present a material shift in the risk profile of renewables transactions.
And what will be the impact on liquidity of the increased risk nature of renewables projects, Stephen?
There's been an abundance of liquidity recently, particularly for green projects, and one has to expect a reduction in liquidity and therefore reduced gearing levels as a natural consequence of an increase in non-subsidised revenues. Having said that, no two projects will have the same structures, so perhaps this can be mitigated to some extent in order to reduce the impact. It will also depend on deal volumes and whether investors can meet their targets by limiting themselves to projects with more tried and tested risk parameters, or whether they need to push the envelope further. All that said, the focus on ESG will continue and borrowers will be the beneficiaries of this. Hopefully that won't lead to any dilution in market standards when it comes to risk acceptance, as we need a sustainable market to achieve our ambitious targets.
And are the debt capital markets and institutional investors ready to take on more market risk?
It's a really good question. I think it's mixed feedback at the moment. They might be willing to take some risk at the back end of a financing so long as there's no material impact on the implied investment grade rating. Unless that can be achieved, I think we have to expect they will focus their efforts, particularly in the shorter term, on the more vanilla structures.
How is the increased appetite for ESG impacting investment decisions and project finance, Stephen?
As I've already alluded to, it's led to an increase in liquidity, whether that be in primary, secondary, commercial debt, or indeed in the debt capital markets. This has led to a definite pricing benefit, particularly in bank financing, which would become more visible if there were to be capital relief for eligible projects. It's also in very sharp focus for the multilaterals and the ECAs. without doubt, this is going to remain the hot topic in 2020 and will be further evidenced in project finance, but also in corporate finance, with a rise in sustainable linked loans and bonds anticipated.
And finally, what new technologies and geographies can we expect to be a focus in 2020?
If we maintain the focus in EMEA, I would expect a resurgence in the southern European markets, such as Spain and Italy. In terms of new markets, however, we expect more activity in Central and Eastern Europe and indeed in Africa, although it will take longer for significant scale to be reached in either of these. As far as technologies are concerned, I'd like to see more meaningful progress for both carbon capture and storage and indeed battery storage. And whilst there will continue to be debate about the role of hydrogen, it's a longer term play, but an exciting prospect nonetheless.
Thanks, Stephen, and thank you for listening to this special bonus episode of the MUFG podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and visit MUFGEMEA.com for more information.